Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a sign of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
You wanted Spencer Arrighetti? You got him. In his words, it felt like he was back out there with the debuting, pretty much, he said, considering how long he'd been out. And the results weren't great, and the margins are so slim. Because if Dubon gets to that ball and turns two, we're probably having a very different conversation about Arrighetti's performance yesterday. He got through 3 2/3. He threw 86 pitches. That was where he was kind of land. He was going to land, according to Chandler Rome. The Astros wanted to get him about 85 to 90 pitches. Unfortunately, those 86 pitches only covered 3 2/3. Nerys came in, kind of got himself into some trouble. Bases loaded. He gets out of it. So Arrighetti returns. Doesn't pitch great, but he had some hard luck. Some softly hit balls that wound up being hits. The Dubon one, the most prominent, because that gets him out of a first inning that went from what could have been shaky, but you get out of it with no harm, no foul after the Astros stake him to a lead, and it turns into something where he's down, and the rest of his outing was kind of like that. He did give up a home run, but the most of the damage was done on softly hit balls. So didn't go his way. The velocity wasn't where you wanted it to be, but it'll be a work in progress for him as he returns from that long layoff. And we'll see what he's got. We know Javier is coming up as well. I believe his next start is going to be on the major league level. So you're getting your guys back. Now you have to work through the acclimation period as they try to find their way throwing the major league batters consistently. And if you get in a performance from Javier that's similar to Arrighetti, take a breath and realize this is kind of the way it's going to go. But I don't know if I've talked about it here. I probably have, that I didn't really understand all this anticipation for Arrighetti, other than he wasn't one of the minor leaguers that we've become accustomed to, because you can flip a coin whether you're going to get a good Arrighetti start or not. And maybe it's even more to not a good start when he's just initially coming back from a long layoff. But first things first, beyond the conversation about the start, I need my pitcher to have a better nickname than Spaghetti. The admin with the Astros is leaning into it. You know what? I can't have confidence that my major league pitcher is going to be good when he has the same nickname some bully from the 50s or 60s was given some Italian kid who just moved to the neighborhood. Like, oh, Arrighetti? How about Spaghetti? And all the bully's friends start laughing. I don't like leaning into Spaghetti. It's not a good nickname. No. It's not clever. And calling your starter Spaghetti sounds like, as I said, you're from a TV show set in the 50s or 60s, and you're the bully. We got to pick it up.
It sounds anti-Italian.
It does. It really does. Like, it would be anti-Italian in the situation I laid out.
Yes.
You can imagine in your head watching, like, I don't know, watching a show, like just set in that time period. And
Greece. If Greece had some racial tension between the Irish and the Italian.
Yeah, there's a new Italian kid moving into a neighborhood.
Danny Zuko. His name's Danny Zuko. Yeah, assuming he's Italian.
Yeah, some kid from New York moves to middle America, and he moves into the suburbs. He's definitely getting called spaghetti in a derogatory way. And this is the
spaghetti
name.
Boy.
Yes, and this is the name you've decided to give to a guy because it rhymes. We got to figure something out. And I don't, like I said, I don't like that the admin has leaned in. The Astros are like, they had like a gif of a bowl of spaghetti. What are we doing? That's not a great nickname for him. I hope Spencer Arrighetti outperforms that nickname.
It does fall in line with baseball nicknames not being very creative. Just being like Blummer or Jeff Blum. You know, like.
Yeah. Bige.
Yeah. There's not like bags.
Yeah.
We're just baggy.
We're just shortening stuff, Breggy.
Yeah. So it falls in line with that, where it's like the last, six letters of his name.
Like Kevin Durant has the Slim Reaper as his nickname.
Yes, but basketball is also guilty of just like everyone gets an acronym.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean,
CP3.
Andre Kirilenko got AK-47.
He had to change his number. He had to pick a number that would like make it cool.
Yeah,
and like AK-15. We're not calling.
Well, it was AR-15 in college until Anthony Richardson was like, maybe I'll move away from that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and don't worry, Austin Reeves has that covered.
Yeah, and remember that controversy. How come John Morant gets in trouble for that, and when Austin Reeves does the whole gun thing, he doesn't get in trouble. That was a thing in the NBA season this year.
Because everything else about him is the exact same.
Yes. All of their traits are the same.
Yeah, it's just they both do the gun celebration. Nothing else extra happened.
Yeah, nothing that would maybe make the NBA think to send John Moran a bit of a message about why guns, as it pertains to him, ain't great. But back to spaghetti.
I will say it's making me hungry as we're talking.
It's a great dish. Yeah.
It really is. Yeah, spaghetti. I don't have anything better than Arrighetti or spaghetti.
Just go with Spence. That's not a nickname, but it's in line with what baseball does.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be better. But maybe that comes with pitching better.
SA-48.
What does that mean? Is that a tax?
I don't know.
Is that a tax document?
It does sound like a penal code, like a very, very, very weird penal code.
Very abstract penal code. Maybe that's what we can give. And it's 41, by the way.
Isn't that his 41?
Number? SA-41.
I forgot which. I knew it was in the 40s.
He doesn't pitch well enough to even remember his number at this point, let alone give him an actual good nickname. So, Arrighetti, as I will call him, didn't go great. But, like I said, Dubon makes a play, and maybe we're talking about, hey, he maybe only goes four innings, but maybe the Astros are in the game when he leaves as opposed to being down by a couple of runs. Now, they had their opportunities later. They could not come through. Hitting with runners in scoring position has been a problem in this stretch of games where they have lost far more than they have won. And that means now their lead in the ALS is down to two. The Mariners have the White Sox again today with the Astros being off. So if the Mariners win, this would be the smallest lead the Astros have had really since they took the lead earlier this year. I don't remember the last time the lead's only been two. We got close to that, and the Astros found a way to bounce back. If the Mariners take care of the White Sox, it's 1.5, and then they have the Rays in town as well. So the Mariners have a real shot to gain the ground. The Astros are playing a scuffling Yankee squad in Yankee Stadium. We'll see if the face of Jose Altuve continues to help the Yankees slide, or maybe they bounce back if they're due for a good series here. So while you're going to have Hunter Brown and Fromber going, that didn't lead to much success in Boston. So there's no guarantee of that happening, or at least wins happening, just because those guys are around on the mound. You have a better shot, but you think about what's happened over the last, 3 weeks, and particularly this last week or so. The Astros won games when Jason Alexander and the bullpen came through. Guys who you would say you want on the mound, those didn't lead to wins. Some of that had to do with the bats being quiet and Hunter Brown's start, and of course Fromber's blow up in one inning in the final game in Boston. So they're scrapping, they're clawing. You got a series win, and that's good. Now you need to find a way to go into the Bronx and at least take two out of three with your best pitchers going. Some good news, though, is Christian Walker continues to hit. Isn't it better to talk about him hitting as opposed to what we were doing earlier in the year where Astro people were like, the exit velos, he's just not finding places for the ball to land. Isn't it better to not make that excuse and just go Christian Walker has an OPS over 1,000 in the month of August?
I mean, you took our advice. We were on it early.
Hit them where they ain't.
Exit velo's great. Hit them where they ain't.
Yeah. He's continuing what was a strong month of July into August when it comes to his hitting. So he has picked it up. And
a lot of times he's just hitting them where they ain't, which is over the fence.
Yes.
He's been doing that a lot.
He did
too.
That.
He's got
three home runs in the month of August. So, Christian Walker's kind of returning to the form that we expected when he first was acquired by the Astros. And now anyone defending him doesn't have to use the excuse that he's hitting the ball hard.
Yeah. I've seen, and it's not Jeremy Branham like going out of his way to defend him. It's just kind of whatever, saying what's going on. But I've seen a lot more Christian Walker stat lines, like with the what he's slugging and what his OPS is. I haven't seen as many 109s off the bat, despite going 0-for-3.
For those who are watching on Twitter or YouTube or Twitch,
you
may have seen me react to something, but it's only because one of our listeners quote tweeted the fake Adam Schefter. So I was about to go hit the horn, Sean, and then I looked at it and it's a fake Adam Schefter. Art, you got to be better. It was awful injury news for the Texans, but it was tweeted by a non.
Oh, well, there is awful.
Is it actual awful injury news?
Well, it's CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Is that real? Because the
Sam
fake
Warren, I Paul sent me Sam Warren, said that CJ Gardner-Johnson is on the ground at Texas practice, looks to be in pain, knees being taken. I don't know what that means.
Because I got a quote tweet, as I mentioned, of what would have been a season ender for CJ Gardner-Johnson, but is there an actual real reporter with some news?
Aaron Wilson, Texan safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson's down, looks serious, appears to be his knee, field is silent, players are all taking knee. So,
okay,
we don't have a diagnosis, but it,
we do have actual reporters. So,
when they're all saying it doesn't look good.
Yeah, it's ugly. Bad. So he was carted off with the right leg injury. He got hurt tackling John Mechie, and he couldn't put weight on it. Now he's inside with the trainers. But, so there is some injury concern with the Texans and their new safety. We don't have any more news than that other than we talked about being carted off not always meaning awful news. This one appears to be something to be concerned about. So if we probably won't have any real confirmed news by the end of the show because the MRI will take time and then they'll give us a diagnosis. But it does look like CJ Gardner-Johnson has suffered a serious injury in practice. And this was a padded practice. The Texans went light yesterday. They were in full pads today, and we've got our first major injury news regarding an actual practice. We know Joe Mixon is missing time. Nick Chubb isn't out there today. We'll tell you why, because Aaron Wilson has some news on that, and Damian Pierce isn't out there either. So a lot of your backup running backs getting a chance today, and the first big concern regarding a Texan from practice hit today. So we'll talk more about that and hear from CJ Stroud when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olivea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olivea.
So just reading more of what the reporters in West Virginia are tweeting, CJ Gardner-Johnson went down. He was face down for a while. Then he was rolled over to his back, very frustrated, in pain. It's one of those things where he didn't even walk to the sideline and then get carted off. He was carted off from the spot where he was. So it appears that that's really serious. We don't have anything other than that, other than he was incapable of getting to the sideline, and they carted him into wherever there was a covered spot. I don't exactly know the setup at the Greenbrier, but your starting safety hurt, and it appears to be serious. Now, the Texans certainly have strength in that secondary. He was just another piece of what was supposed to be a great secondary, but he was an important piece. So if it is as serious as it seems, it will certainly put a player in that spot. Maybe it means more time for Russ Yeast because Jimmy Ward's unavailable. Maybe Jalen Reed gets elevated as well. But right now, the concern is C.J. Gardner-Johnson, the recent trade acquisition from the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's tough. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. I guess I'm sure the Paul Gallant show will have more news on that. D'Amico will speak.
Yeah, because normally the practice ends around our time.
Yeah, so if there's further word, I'm sure D'Amico will tell you he doesn't know much because he won't have an answer. And even if he did, it's not something he particularly is going to express. He has let that known that he doesn't like player injury news being out there.
Yeah, you'll probably hear it from Aaron Wilson, Ian Rappaport, Schefter, probably either tonight or tomorrow morning.
We're probably looking at sometime, maybe as the Killer Bees are ending, we'll have real world if it is a serious.
You might get the fear, the, you know, team officials fear that it's XYZ. But as we saw with the Tyler Guyton injury with the Cowboys 2 weeks ago, they feared an ACL, and then it ended up being a broken bone, which is also bad, but it's a 2-month injury as opposed to a season ender.
Sure. And we can always hope that while it appears he's going to be down for a bit, it isn't the worst thing possible, but we won't know that for quite a while. All right. We hope for the best for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Let's get to C.J. Stroud. Certainly, it's been a process, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson is one of the guys who's picked off C.J., I believe, this training camp. He, among others, and you can take that as you've got a great defense, and you can also look at it as your offense is trying things. And C.J. even mentioned that in one of these clips, or at least something I heard yesterday, he talked about, hey, sometimes we'll call a play knowing it won't work, but we're still going to run it just to see. So they would be fully aware of this play against this defensive look isn't going to work, but we'll still go and try because the process means more than the results. Here's CJ on that line of thinking as they try to get their offense ready to go for week one.
Sometimes in our scheme, our defense, you know, it's not going to work against them, but just to get the reps down, even though, like, it might not even work, like, it helps. And I think he's very positive when it comes to that. He understands that. So I think it's been great, you know, to just get down our foundation, and now we're building from, like, more of a game plan emphasis, and I think that'll be fun.
That is CJ talking about the he. The he is Nick Caley, who is in a pretty good spot, at least as far as PR is concerned.
Oh, I mean, especially right now.
Yeah, the defense is great. You're implementing a new scheme. So what if it doesn't look great? You get every caveat, every excuse right now because, hey, as long as you're good to go for week one against the Rams. Yeah. So, and your quarterback is taking, I think, the right approach, the measured one, saying, hey, we're still working on things, and it'll be a process, but we should be good to go by week one.
Raise my hand.
To what?
CJ, do they ever run a play? Does the defense ever run a play that they know won't work against you guys? Or
I do think coordinators work together.
Yeah.
To give each team, each side of the ball looks.
Most teams aren't trying to, like, have one side just dominate the other for a practice. They're not trying to do that.
Yeah, and they don't game plan.
Yes.
And the team will know. Like, because they'll set it up situationally. Okay, this is a 3rd and 7. You got to pick up a first down. The defense knows this is a pass rushing situation, which is a distinct disadvantage normally, but particularly when you're talking about the Texans offensive line versus the Texans defensive line. I don't know how often they just scrimmage, but I do believe I saw that today there would actually be a scrimmage type.
They've
setup.
I think they've done it. I think they've done, maybe it was like once a week or something, or okay, like a couple weeks ago. But yeah.
Because when we hear that CJ threw a pick to Aziz Al-Shaair, it could have been, okay, this is third and eight. They're clearly going to pass football.
Yeah, red zone.
Red zone, all
like
the
they
things.
Do all sorts of different scenarios.
Yeah, so the defense and the offense is fully aware of what type of play could get called. And you know, if they see the same look over and over again, then it...
Just human nature.
The defense like, is, okay, I know what's coming. Yeah. I'm going to make a break on that. So there's a lot of things that go into what we hear from the reporters about what a play looked like. And yeah, that's why I understand why coaches are like,
you don't even know what we're doing.
Yeah,
guys.
Yeah. Stop making judgments or assessments.
Yesterday or 2 days ago, I think, when the Tyreek Hill, Devon Achane thing, where they asked Tyreek Hill like something about how to make the offense better
on and third was, and short. Or
yeah, and he was like, don't have Achane on the field for third and short.
Yeah, he said, I keep telling him he's not a power back. He thinks he is, but I tell him to lock him all the time.
And then they asked Mike McDaniel about it. He was like, well, we were doing red zone or in like third and short situations yesterday, and we had Achane out there, but we also had the power backs out there a lot more.
Yeah.
So I guess he noticed.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Ollie Gordon got a shout out from Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Not tough look for Alexander Mattison. The one running back who wasn't mentioned in those conversations. Yeah. He mentioned Jalen Wright. He mentioned Alexander Mattison, the former Viking.
He's done the most in this league.
Yeah. Did not get a mention.
I picked him up a couple times in fantasy football. Yeah. These other guys.
Tyreek mentioned the second-year player.
Seventh round pick.
And the rookie, but not the guy who they actually brought in to be the power back, who's apparently had a good camp for whatever that means at this point.
But yeah, that's all just to say that they do different phases and different. They just rep the same thing over and over, like a certain situation over and over and over again. So,
yeah, and circumstances, excuse me, situations kind of dictate what the result might be sometimes.
Yeah,
and so we don't hold the Texans' offense to too much account just because they've struggled. Because you know what, when they game plan for the Rams, Maybe all those struggles go away as long as the offensive line can hold up. And, of course, that would be a conversation throughout. But, once again, I just keep reading some of these reports from the guys out there talking about how the entire mood of practice has changed. We talk about it kind of from afar when we talk about these practices. But, hey, those guys are out there and they watch one of their dudes go down. We always hear how it's tough to get back to it, particularly in a practice where you don't even, it's not even a real game and you're worried about your dude. So right now, the big concern is the health of Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, and it doesn't look good for the Texans safety. Okay, we'll go to a break with that. But before we do that, Sean, we talk quite a bit leading up to week one with the Rams. Who would you hope would be the play-by-play guy, just offhand? It's a CBS game, so of course you could have Nance.
Yeah.
You could have others. But if you had your choice of play-by-play guys for week one, who would you want?
Yeah, probably Nance or I guess Gus Johnson doesn't do it anymore. No. He was always fun too. Kevin Harlan is a CBS guy.
Well, you're in luck. Kevin Harlan will be the Texans play-by-play guy for week one against the Rams.
This is one of the like hidden pleasures of having a good football team. Like,
yeah,
it's you get at least the
B team.
Yes, like the worst the Texans get most times. This is every once in, like when they play the Titans or Jags. Like normally they get
the worst. You get
we're
is
back
like,
in Andrew Cavallon zone.
Yeah, the worst you get is like Ian Eagle.
I was gonna say Ian Eagle and Charles Davis is like as bad as it gets, and that's a very good crew.
Yeah. Well, now it's Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Charles Davis is moving to college, right?
Yes, but he's still going to call some NFL games.
Oh, okay.
I think he should. Cause
just
in fact,
de-emphasize.
In fact, he's on the list right now. Okay. But he's on a lesser game because Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt will take Steelers, Jets, Rodgers, return to New York. Of course, Lions, Packers is what Nance and Romo are getting. I would guess Rams.
I don't like that that's a CBS game.
Yes, for some reason that's CBS this year. Rams, or that week. Rams, Texans is the Harlan game. I imagine Harlan's the second team, and then you give Ian Eagle the third team, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah.
The great Spiro Didis, who we've come to know because of bad Texas football.
Not to name drop specific guys, but Spiro Didis and Andrew Catalan are like, okay. David Culley's coaching the Texans.
Lovie Smith is in the last couple days of his tenure, yeah.
Archuleta is on the call.
Yeah, Archuleta's on that Spiro Didis call.
Yeah.
And it'll be Josh McDaniels versus his former team.
Yeah. I think the
Patriots Raiders.
I think the perfect zone is to be like good enough that Ian Eagle and Kevin Harlan call your games, but not so good that you're playing a bunch of like primetime Christmas, Thanksgiving. Like I really don't like playing on the holidays.
But not as well thought of as like before the year. You want to surprise and be great, but the games have already set. Yeah, I get it. Like
last year's like kind of
too much.
Yeah, because they played like what a couple times on Thursday, or maybe just the Halloween on Thursday. But they were all over the place. Like obviously they played a Saturday so that they could play on Christmas Day. Like it was a bit much.
Yeah, you want it to start where there's not a lot of expectations, and then you get good. So
you get flex into Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, and also, sure, in week one you've got Spiro Didis, but by week seven it's Ian Eagle time because you're a better football team, like kind of 2023.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you want. Yeah, it is maybe a Monday night, a Sunday night. Maybe you get flexed into another. But for the most part, I really just want to play on Sundays.
Yes. And now
I like the late window, too.
And now week one, you'll get a late window game. That'll be 3:25 our time.
That is the late. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to L.A. It'll be a late window game. Yeah. So there it is. Texans, Rams, 3:25, Kevin Harlan on the call.
Sweet.
Good stuff.
So, oh, man, I get red zone week one. Let's go. Noon red zone week one.
And then when there are lesser games, you don't have to get stuck. If you don't care to watch Romo and Nance do the Packers-Lions, you get your Texans in a compelling game, and we'll see if it's Jimmy Garoppolo or Matthew Stafford in that one. And we talked about Matthew Stafford's return to play as he's trying to figure out a way to get ready. The back thing, I'm sure, will bother him throughout the season. But, hey, if he's ready for week one, probably bad news for the Texans, but we'll see how it goes. We'll go to break with that. We'll come back. Certainly we'll get into we'll kind of go around the league with the NFL. There is also something I want to get to because I'm not a fan of bullying or shaming anyone, but at some point it needs to come back, considering what happened to one Caden Lopez. Someone in his life should have got on the bullying train and said, you know what? This is embarrassing. You shouldn't do this. We'll talk about that as we keep moving. Me and Sean till noon. We'll be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So last Thursday, Sean, you showed your disdain for the Hall of Fame game. You wanted nothing to do with it, had no interest in watching it.
Yes, didn't watch it.
There are three games tonight.
Okay.
Has your interest peaked for preseason football since that point? Or are you a no-go for this night as well?
For the most part, I just...
Nothing in the Indy, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Philly, or Vegas, Seattle interests you at all? No. There's not even a Texas Longhorn you want to watch. Who's trying to make a team?
Not I want to watch the full game.
I didn't say full game.
I only really need to watch the plays. Like the Shedeur Sanders start
on Friday
with the Browns.
Okay.
Like that's interesting to me. I don't know if it's interesting enough for me to like see if it's on NFL Network or whatever.
It is.
NFL Network will just replay it.
It's live on NFL Network.
Okay, yeah. I figured because it was high profile.
Yeah.
Even then though, like it has to be like I have nothing going on. And it's like, okay, I'll just throw this on for a little while. Even then, like, when the other team has... I don't even know who they're playing. When the other team has the ball...
Carolina.
I'm not interested.
Okay.
That's when I change the channel.
I do want to see Indy Baltimore just because I feel like I want to laugh at the Colts quarterback situation. The setup of either or D Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson are their starter.
Never a good sign.
No, and we'll get into Ohio State stuff because I don't think it's a good sign for them that Ryan Day said this thing is going to go down to the wire about who their quarterback will be. It's a good sign for you, but not a good sign, I think, for Ohio State.
Maybe they're both so good.
That's not generally how it works. No one can separate because they're both so great. That's anytime a coach says there's no separation, particularly in college. First of all, of course, it's bad for receivers, but it's also bad for the quarterback situation that they can't determine a starter. So maybe that's good news for, Texas.
They have the new C.J. Stroud and Joe Burrow problem.
Considering
that wasn't a problem back then, Joe Burrow wasn't as good?
Yeah, and considering that the two guys have had very limited opportunities, one guy didn't even throw a pass last year, I don't think it's great news for Ohio State. Okay. So we'll talk about that a little bit.
I'm not eating that rat poison.
You're not – you don't play for Texas. It doesn't matter what you think about the quarterback situation. Besides, that's a Saban thing anyway. But I want to see if there is a big difference between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson tonight, or they're both just unbelievably mediocre.
Yeah.
Because I kind of just want to laugh at the Colts today. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so I won't.
Not a great.
It's not a great reason to watch, but I am.
No, I was going to say not a great quarterback competition.
No, I love from Schadenfreude, so that game's on NFL Network. You're not going to see Lamar. Not that I care about Lamar in the preseason anyway, but that's, watching the Colts quarterbacks be unbelievably mediocre is something I feel like I can laugh at tonight.
That's a good point, too, where like Lamar Jackson's like, I know I'm going to watch him 15 times next year.
I'm going to see so much Lamar Jackson in the regular season. I don't care if he never takes a snap in the preseason.
Bengals, Eagles, same thing, like both these teams. Like, the interesting stuff, A, there isn't much, and it's not that interesting, but it's the guys mostly the guys that you won't see very often, like a guy who's going to be a backup quarterback, and it is like the Brown situation, just whoever that backup is going to be. You'll probably see him in the regular season, but that's at least like, okay, let's see what – is Dylan Gabriel not playing or is he just not starting?
He's banged up, so I don't believe he's going to play.
Because I was going to say, like, the Browns is actually interesting because there's three different guys that could actually start for this team.
Yeah, he's not expected back until sometime next week.
That's also not good.
Yeah, not for him.
I'm looking – like, the Seahawks have Jalen Milroe, but I'm not, like – I'm dying to see Jalen Milroe.
Yeah. When
the Dolphins play?
I think they play Sunday. So you'll get your taste of Quinn Ewers on the NFL Network if you so choose. Yeah, I think if we're trying to find things to watch, it's the young quarterbacks. Like Cam Ward's going to start. I brought it up this morning that the Texans have benefited from lack of hits from the quarterback position from the other teams in the division. Are they going to luck out again and have another divisional rival not take a good quarterback? Now, that can't be determined in preseason game one for Cam Ward, but I do want to see him play. He is the number one overall pick. Maybe it's time someone pays attention to him because no one has. Even now, Shador gets more pub.
Yeah.
In the
I'm more interested in watching Shador.
Yeah. When you have the number one overall pick making his first taking his first NFL reps, even if it is just preseason, still no one cares.
Normally, like, there's, again, at least some, like there's some for Caleb last year of, like, oh, Caleb Willett, like, let's see him. There's nothing for Cam Ward.
Does it have to do with the fact that no one really talked about Cam Ward until he was strolling at the swamp and putting up 41 points? Because Cam Ward's been a good player throughout his college career, but he played at Washington State. And before that, Incarnate Word. So maybe it was simply that.
Yeah.
No one had paid that much attention to him until his final year.
It was 1 year at
and even then, Miami. he went to a school that had struggled in previous years. So he goes there, was in the Heisman conversation throughout the season, but there wasn't a lot of build up to what happened last year for him, and that has kind of transitioned into
his
NFL
just, like,
career.
Just a bigger story,
and plus he plays in Tennessee.
That also
no one's really locked in.
I was going to say the
fortunes.
Caleb thing's different because he played for Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also like Cam Ward. Like I don't know. I just kind of think he's going to be pretty good. I don't have the like this could be a disaster.
Yeah.
Feeling. And maybe that's just because I've heard him talk and I like him.
Yeah, he seems like football. All he cares about. Yeah.
Seems like he has a good head on his shoulder. Like,
yeah, I do find it funny. Like they asked him about the Will Levis injury and what he thought about it. He goes, I hadn't thought about it at all.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the next play. I haven't really thought about my teammate not being around. And to be fair, Will Levis ain't long to be his teammate.
Also, I don't care that my backup.
a guy who I probably have interacted with maybe twice, because Will Levis hasn't been around because he's been hurt. Probably wasn't thrilled that they took a quarterback number one. But you know what you do? Will Levis play better, and then they wouldn't have done that. Jeremy Branham's thing, not aging well.
No.
I mean, Jeremy gets some stuff right, but this one, way wrong.
Yeah. Everyone is kind of wrong.
That's true.
Because Bryce Young was like, no doubt about it, number one pick.
People were questioning CJ.
People were tantalized by
Richardson's
physical tools.
Uh-huh.
Hand up, myself included, tantalized.
You and Dan Orlovsky both said he wasn't inaccurate in college.
Oh, I didn't say that. I just said, look at him. I'll take that. It was more, I'll take that guy over the 5'10" guy. Still wrong, but that's my bias there. Mm-hmm. And then, Will Levis. Also, like, some hype, but not as crazy. I mean, obviously, it was a second-round pick. But none of those guys, the guy who's worked out the most is C.J. Stroud, and he is the guy that people are most like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever.
He had the Georgia game, which
low
was great.
Low S2 score, but,
yeah. His one saving grace in the draft process was how good he looked against Georgia.
But even that kind of got weaponized against him of, like, why did it take so long?
True.
Why did it take until your last game?
Depending on how you felt about him, you could flip that in a different way.
God, draft season. What a great time of the year.
We got a guy who's made his name off of it. Actually, he made his name off of being a Houston Radio Hall of Famer, but he pretends like it's because of the draft stuff. You can't fool me, Lance. Where you made your bones.
Did he get sold to ESPN as part of the deal? Or
I think he is still an NFL Network employee. Okay. I can't be sure, though.
If he sounds more censored, just keep an eye out.
Yeah, because he's done a lot of stuff for the .com, so I'm not sure what's.
Okay, so the mouse might not get a hold of him?
Possibly. Who knows?
Starts hyping up the next Marvel release. Just keep your eye out.
If Lance starts comparing quarterbacks to Marvel superheroes, we'll know. All right, we'll go to break with that. Excuse me, Summer. Sorry, I have to yell at my intern a little bit. I don't know if she heard me. Can you email me that info from this morning? Thank you. Wow, sorry, I didn't want her to leave before I got the info. It's about our winner. We gave away a winner.
What a peek behind the curtain of how things are done at ESPN 97.
We just yell at people whenever it comes to mind.
Hey, by the way.
Yeah, we gave away two spots to the listener appreciation party. Summer, thankfully, as our intern, was able to get the information for one of our listeners. I just needed that information before she walked out for the week. That's all.
And I think she will be here tomorrow.
I did not know that.
With me, so.
All right, so.
Didn't have to yell at her on air.
Some interns would say, thanks for mentioning me.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. Sometimes they're like, please don't say my name. Sometimes they're like, can you say my name?
Trust. Some interns are chomping at the bit to get on the air. I found that out yesterday. And I was like, you know what? It's not really up to me. It's up to the, because it wasn't for my show.
Yeah.
I was like, I would say, and he understood. I said, don't ask. If they happen to bring you on, cool. But we don't ask it on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can't seem like you want.
Yeah. In fact, it's better if you seem like you don't. Yeah. That's when they'll start to pick at you and bring you on. Yes. That's what happens to a lot of our interns.
If John starts talking to you like he's talking to a puppy.
Yeah. Thankfully, John's been out for most of this intern class's run.
Not boots on the ground.
Yeah. So he hasn't been able to look at an intern and talk to her like a puppy. Hey, how are you? That's not how you regularly talk. Just talk like a normal person.
Never talk like that to me.
Yeah, you don't have to act like you're gonna scare them if you talk to them in a normal voice. Yeah, all you did was, when I was an intern, was yell at me about stuff. I don't remember that puppy voice. It scarred me. Now I am the way I am because of that. We'll go to break with that. And the email is in. Thank you, Summer, for that.
Appreciate
it. All right, we'll go to break with that. We're close to hour two. We'll get into why Ohio State may have a problem at quarterback, because those quotes from Ryan Day I follow a lot of coaches when they have quarterback battles. This smells of one quarterback might play a quarter and then the next guy might play because the first guy did not play well. Just be on the lookout for that if you are betting on that Ohio State-Texas game. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.